powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, July the 16th. And you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly famous Joe Dodds.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Joe. I haven't seen you for ages. How on earth are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm thinking there might be a sound thing going on here, though. It sounds like echoey, like we're in a toilet or something.
That should be better. I've just switched the air conditioning off.
Yes, that's much better. I can hear lots of rattling and stuff.
It was the
going
air conditioning sucking the words out of the room.
You see, listener, they need me for technical stuff, really.
Absolutely, yeah. I was hoping you weren't going to mention it. I was hoping when you saw me leap across here, I wasn't throwing myself at you. I was turning the air conditioning off.
Yeah, but it's just good to be honest, I think. You know, if you just sort of pretend it wasn't really noisy at the beginning, people will think we didn't realise. So I'm good. I haven't been here for ages, and it's nice and sunny now and summery. And little Dodsie was supposed to be coming, but she's on an owner painy day, so she you know, you were blown out.
I'm mortally, mortally, mortally offended. I only asked you so that little Dodsie could come. If I knew she wasn't coming, I wouldn't have got you here.
I know. You picked it right in the middle of school holidays for us. So yeah.
So where is she?
She's at owner pony day at the Bridleway Riding School in Walmer, which is one of the mums from her school, and she's an ex-Montessori teacher, and she is brilliant with the children. So
brilliant.
You have to do mucking out, and she's taken an apple for one of the horses and stuff, and then they go riding and sort of generally pretend that they've got a pony for 7 hours and then
brilliant.
Come home.
Sounds good to me.
It's much cheaper.
couldn't eat a whole one, but, you know.
No, exactly. So, yeah, and she's very excited because we're off to see her best friend on Thursday.
Oh, brilliant. Good.
So, yeah.
Well, Ellie, if you're listening, hope you enjoyed your pony day, and I missed you, and I'll see you soon. So, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that. Did some more work with O2.
Oh, have you?
Good.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mad week. It was the last week of term. I sang in a concert.
I saw that. I saw your posts on Facebook about that.
Dover College Choral Society. Very exciting. So I did that, finished the concert, got on the high speed to London, got there at midnight, stayed overnight, got about 5:30 and went to Manchester for the O2 event the next day. Then came back, had prize day, we met our Brazilian students' parents who came in from Brazil, and we went to the ball, and then I went to a school reunion, so I had like 10 hours sleep over like 3 nights. It was ridiculously stupid. And now I'm looking remarkably fresh, aren't I?
Exactly. That's fairly normal then, really. Same old, really.
I know, but do you know what? School reunion, 26 years since we left school. There were only about 15 of us there. But the really scary thing is that nobody had changed at all. You know, they say that, show me a child at 7, and, you know, that's how they'll be sort of thing. It's so true. Everyone just got into that mode we were at school. So there was the sort of really confident one flirting with the boys. There was the one in her shadow. There was saying, I'm not in her shadow anymore. I've grown up and I'm not doing that anymore. But clearly she was. And I don't know, the sort of ones that were always a bit overconfident at school still were, and things like that. It was just really weird. Everyone was just the same. They're just 26 years older. And nobody looked any different, really, either. Just a little bit older, I suppose. But it's a bit scary, really. Do you think you've changed since you've got older, Paul?
No, I look exactly the same. I was always bald when I was 7. I personality-wise, I don't know. But, I mean, looks-wise, radically. Because I was always really tiny at school as well.
Oh, really?
Very short. Yeah, when I left school and started work, I was only 5'1".
Wow.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But yeah, and it's interesting. We tried to hold a school reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Wormwood Scrubs wouldn't let us in.
Well, we had one girl who came all the way from America somewhere. I can't remember where now. And turns out all the boys used to see her as like the unattainable, beautiful, you know, English beauty sort of thing when we were at school, and they still do. And it was really funny.
Fair enough.
It was really weird because we weren't really sure about that at school. They didn't really tell us, but apparently they'd been talking in sort of, you know, private get-togethers about the amazing Jane,
right.
And she turned up, and they were just as awed by
right,
her turning
okay.
up there. So yeah, how weird.
Doesn't that make you spit?
Yes,
really,
completely.
It does, really, doesn't it? It shouldn't be allowed.
No, exactly.
Cool.
Someone told me he really fancied me for years. Year, fourth year and fifth year, you know, leading up to our O-levels.
All right, who was this, Simon?
No, it was called Rupert, and I said, yeah, I knew.
Oh dear, that's a slap down par excellence, isn't it? Yeah, I know. Whatever.
Cool. But anyway, there we go, a bit of reminiscing going on.
Good stuff. Anyway,
so what have I missed?
Yeah, quite a lot, but lots been happening down here and in the world of business, so maybe people will tell us. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. So you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or you can phone us on 01303 874 998. But more likely is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. Send me a tweet. We've had a few tweets. Send me a tweet and we'll read them out. But before we start, I've just literally this morning had an email in about a new initiative, for want of a better word, from Kent County Council. They've announced the Marsh Million, which is a fund to boost jobs and business growth down here on the Romney Marsh area. So it's a bit bigger than Romney Marsh. It's kind of southeast Kent area. And there is a launch event is the best word to describe, next Tuesday, the 23rd of July. Very early in the morning, for some reason. Registration starts at 7:30 a.m. and the event itself starts at 8 a.m. and it's being held at the Marsh Academy, which is the local school in Station Road, New Romney. And the Marsh Million is a 3-year economic growth fund for Romney Marsh, and it's backed by £500,000 contribution from Magnox. Magnox are the people who operate the Dungeness AE power station, which is currently being decommissioned. There's £400,000 from Kent County Council, £50,000 from Ashford Borough Council, and £50,000 from Shepway District Council. Local companies, entrepreneurs, and traders will be able to apply for unsecured loans aimed at promoting local business growth, supporting new enterprises, and boosting access to training. Mark Dance, who's the Kent County Council Cabinet Member for Economic Development, said this is a fantastic programme to help small businesses on Romney Marsh access finance for growth. We and our partners, Magnox, Ashford Borough Council and Shepway District Council, are planning to mitigate the decommissioning of Dungeness A, when complete, will present a significant challenge to employment in the area, obviously because they're going to have to make some redundancies. We are inviting local companies, sole traders, not-for-profit groups and partnerships to find out more about the Marsh Million. So we have people lined up to make good use of the money when the scheme goes live. If you want to go to that event, you have to book your place, and you do that by sending an email to events office, that's all one word, eventsoffice@kent.gov.uk. So if you want to find out more about how to get your filthy mitts on the Marsh Million, it's first thing in the morning, next Tuesday, the 23rd of July, and you need to email eventsoffice@kent.gov.uk. So, thank you for that. I think what we'll do now is, if you go with another email, Joe, I sort out some other things over here.
Okay, cool. So I'm pleased to be reading this one out, because I've been driving past it and looking on the Facebook page as well, and it looks very exciting. The War and Peace Revival, which is happening on the 17th, so that's Wednesday through to Sunday, at Folkestone Racecourse. And we've got some information about a free schools day that they are having on Wednesday. So organisers of the War and Peace Revival are preparing for their first day opening at Folkestone Racecourse, welcoming over 1,300 local children. The pupils from schools across Kent are attending a schools day on Wednesday the 17th, completely free of charge as part of the 5-day military festival, and will enjoy unrivalled access to history at its most vivid and interactive, providing them with a truly memorable day. They'll experience a walkthrough time of conflict display, which provides a unique picture of life in conflict with depictions from World War One to the present, and they'll see the British living in trenches, GIs in Vietnam, and Russians relaxing with an accordion after a hard day in battle. Homefront living history displays will demonstrate how the people left behind during the war coped, including cooking with the limited food rationing allowed them, and there'll also be a dedicated battle on school's day of the Kelly's Heroes Bank Raid. The organiser, Rex Cadman, said we're really excited to be welcoming so many of Kent's young people to the show. Every year, hundreds of local Kent school children have the unique opportunity to experience a walk through time and understand the history of Britain during times of conflict, from the First World War to today. We're pleased to offer free entry to the schools, as we know they'll enjoy the experience. Every year, we receive great feedback from teachers and children, making real some of what they learn in schools. And it says, for more information, visit www.thewarandpeacerevival.co.uk or call 01304 813337. And yeah, it looks really exciting. I've been looking on the Facebook page and we've been seeing all the jeeps and things driving by, obviously on their way to get there. It looks really, really cool.
Cool, yeah.
Loads of events happening, Penny was telling me.
I was driving past there yesterday and I was overtaken by a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a scout car. I was like, whoops, here we go. The locals are getting restless. It's a bit of an insurgency in Hythe, blimey.
There's people, you know, I've seen that have been travelling from around the country and internationally, and they're camping there this week. And I know somebody I used to work with goes to these sorts of things where they dress up in the gear and do the sort of songs and dancing for the time and that sort of thing. It's really, looks really exciting. Unfortunately, we're not here, otherwise we'd be going.
I don't want to be rude to Headcorn, which is where it was held before, but I think the Folkestone Racecourse is a far better venue, not least which, with weather like this, it's near the beach as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the whole event's going to be really cracking.
Well, I think that might be a bit of a concern that if the weather's good, people go to the beach rather than there. But as you say, there's an opportunity to do both. But I think there will be a bit of a challenge on getting there because of the traffic getting to the beach is bad on a good day as well. So it's worth people thinking about their route and what time they go and that sort of thing.
Yeah. For some reason, I've got a flurry of late emails come in, so I'm going to read a couple of those.
Okay.
And I'm going to pass you that and see if you can make head or tail of that. I've got an email from Stopwatch Hospitality. This Saturday and Sunday, we have a few places in our hospitality suite for the British Superbikes at Brands Hatch. And the tickets are £35 for Saturday and £75 for Sunday. And the Sunday package includes the following. Circuit entry ticket, VIP parking inside the circuit, all day access to the penthouse stopwatch suite, fruit juices, tea and coffee, complimentary bar serving soft drinks, coffee and tea throughout the day, an official souvenir program, a visit from one of the riders to take questions and chat and sign autographs, a live TV feed, and the Brands Hatch race simulator. So if you'd like to find out more about that, you need to get hold of Paul Clark, and you can get him at stopwatchhospitality.com. That's all one word, stopwatchhospitality.com. You can follow him on the Twitter at stopwatchsuite, S-U-I-T-E, all one word, or you can call him on 0795-688-5851. If anybody didn't get any of that and you urgently want a ticket for next weekend, contact me at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. That's bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And I will put you in touch with Paul as soon as I can. And I've also had another last minute email from Piperus Philippaeus.
That's such a cool name.
Yeah. It says, hi, Paul. Can you give us a shout out to Nicole? She's the newest team member of You Targeting, which is Pip's company. It is also her first time listening in. Well, hello, Nicole. Welcome. And it's a pleasure to have you listening in. And I hope you enjoy working with the guys over there at the University of Kent. He claims we headhunted her through LinkedIn, showing the power of LinkedIn and that all grads should be on there. So thank you for that, Piperus. That's Piperus Philippaeus at You Targeting and their new employee, Nicole. So enjoy your time there, Nicole. I'm sure you will. They're a great bunch of people.
Yeah, and a great example of using LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I think we need to do some tweets. If I could get my Twitter up after having messed up that. Bear with me. Right, anyway. I'll tell you what, Joe, do another email for us while I mess around with me Twitter.
Okay, I've got another one linked to the War and Peace, which is a War and Peace photography course with Rob Canis. It's 50% off and it's on Sunday, the 21st, from 10 till 4. And it's now £43 per person and that includes the entry fee. It says, join us for the planet's largest military spectacular. Capture military aircraft, vehicles and weaponry as you're transported back to wartime with live music, entertainment and reenactments, plus much more. For more information and booking... He's given us one of those really long URLs again. It'll be on the website, but it's kentphotolibrary.org/photo-courses/war-and-peace without the E. 2013-07-21/
It's good fun reading these kind of things out, isn't it?
I wouldn't have bothered, but it is only on Sunday. So look on our website, and I guess maybe it's on the War and Peace site, I don't know. Or perhaps look up Rob Canis on LinkedIn or something and try and contact him direct.
Absolutely. The Twitter's a bit slow today. Come on, you lot out there, tweet in. We've had a few tweets, but not many.
People are saying, welcome back to me, so that's nice, thank you.
Oh, right, Angela, so that's why they're all replying to you, are they?
Yeah, I've had a couple, yeah. Shall I do the one that I was supposed to do that has now just come through while I think about it? Otherwise, I'll forget.
Yeah, go on.
A tweet has just come through from Paul Williamson at Realia.
Who, oh, yeah, yeah.
They're a local marketing agency who I actually now do some work with.
They've just moved,
yes.
Yeah.
They're at the auction rooms, the old auction rooms in Hythe, so dead handy for the beach and ice creams and such things. And, I've done some work with them, and we've been working with Capita. I don't think we were always admitting to the name. We had to say a large UK PLC. But as they tweeted us and said thanks for the training, I think it's quite, you know, public domain now. But we've done some work together, and that came about as a result of coming on the show. Paul came on the show about 18 months ago, and we met and got together, and we've done some work together, which is great.
Brilliant.
And they have a special deal at the moment. He asked if I could just mention it, and has just tweeted it through as well. So basically they are offering, if you commit to spending some money with them over the next 4 months on their services, they're committing to offering some extra work, free. And so it's £2,500 worth of work that they do in-house, so the things that they manage, like creative sort of work, and as long as you've committed to £10,000 on their full service offering over the next 4 months. So if you're looking at moving agencies, or you're looking at getting some sort of hefty marketing done, and you want to get, you know, some really good value, then that's something to look at. So you can go to their website, and I'm just trying to remember what it is. I can't remember now.
I happen to know it's realia.co.
Yeah, well, I thought I was going to say it was that, but I thought I tried to go to it yesterday, it didn't work.
I don't know why I know that, but I just do.
Yes, it's .co. Yes, exactly. And he's also just tweeted us, so we should be able to just retweet that as well. And I'll see if Paul will put it on there. On our website.
Yeah, of course we will. Yeah. Everything you hear on this show will be on the Business Bunker website later today.
Yeah, that's
for you to look it up and go in it.
So they're a really cool bunch. They're really committed. They're local. They're quite small, so you get really good personal service. And as I said, they're very local. You can pop in and see them in Hythe now.
Cool.
And so give them a shout and at least ask, you know, some questions about the sorts of things they could do for you and what you've got coming up on your list of needs, and see what you can do.
Yeah, brilliant. Sounds good. Cool. I want to read one tweet that I've had before we lose the plot and forget what she's talking about, because Miriam McGurk, who's known on the Twitter as the Josie Maguire, she's laugh out loud that you were once a titch.
You? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, though. You said when you left school, you were that small.
When I started, I was 5 foot one. Yeah.
And you're now what?
6 foot two.
What did you do?
Funnily enough, both my boys were the same as well. Jamie, my eldest, when he was 17, he was still like 5 foot four,
yeah.
And he's now 6 foot four. And Stu, who's only just 17, is 6 foot four as well. So, but we all kind of grew at the last minute. Just, you know, we lulled people into a false sense of security, and then kind of grew when people weren't looking.
Yeah, so does that mean when you were little you got bullied a bit, and then all of a sudden you could go and like get your own back?
Yeah. But I'm still growing, that's the thing. Only outwards this time. Anyway, so Miriam was saying, would not know one of my school chums if they jumped up and bit me on the backside.
Oh, really?
I went to a school like that as well, yeah.
Yeah, although I would have thought, as I said, that people would have changed more, but I don't think that's the reality, so...
Do you know what?
You're right, it is. That's what's confused me. It is realia.co.
Yeah.
But it used to be something else, and it sort of forwards and things.
I know everyone's email
address. I've got an email address. I work with them, don't I? So yeah. I should know. Sorry, Paul.
But I did. So I dug you out there. I'll send you a bill later.
I phoned him up on the way, so I didn't sound like a pillock when I was on the radio, but clearly I have done anyway.
Best laid plans.
He did make some comment like that, I have to admit.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
Play some tunage.
We're going to play a bit of tunage. We're going to have a bit of Katrina and the Waves, what do you reckon?
Oh, lovely.
Walking on Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think maybe you love.
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk. Come on, let's work you
to the bone. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. Katrina and the Waves there.
That always reminds me of my boyfriend when I was 15.
It's not the same one you met on your reunion, was it?
No, different place.
I know, that was the one you blanked, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, my boyfriend wasn't at my school, that's why it was interesting going back to school reunion, because I don't remember half the stories, because I wasn't there.
Hold on a minute, you were 15 when this was in the charts? Get out of it.
Yeah, that must be right. When would that have been? 84? Would that be right?
I'm not talking to you.
I'm still old. That's right, it was 84.
Trust me,
I'm
you're
sure.
Not old now, trust me. I won't tell you where I was in 84. Right.
Well, I was still at school anyway.
Right.
Oh, I saw a funny joke the other day, actually. It was saying something like, Madonna's boyfriend's 22 and J-Lo's is, 30-something and something else is something else. And it said, so if you're single, don't worry, your boyfriend's not been born yet. I thought it was quite funny.
I like that, actually. That's quite good. Cool. Right, I've had a tweet from Gerard Giacomovicius.
Wow, you're doing well on these pronunciations today.
Yeah, and he says, inflation has just been announced as 2.9%. So what should you now be considering for your business? So if anybody's got any thoughts on that, you could tweet us in and let us know what your thoughts are. But 3%, bar the shouting, inflation, that was always going to happen. It was pretty obvious, unless you're an economist and then you wouldn't have a clue what was going on. But for the rest of us, we could have predicted that ages ago. It's just, yeah. So, well done. Not. So we have 3% inflation and no growth. Terrific. So how's that going to affect your business? If you've got any thoughts on that, you can tweet me at VanillaWeb and let us know. And also Stopwatch Management, who I read out earlier, have tweeted as well. And they said, we've just hearing about Kelly's Heroes, the Kelly's Heroes bank raid at the War and Peace Revival on the Business Bunker Show, which is what you were reading out earlier.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I think they're taken with that. I think they're going to join in by the look of
it. Well, they've hashtagged it, so we suddenly might get an influx of listeners, and then they'll be really disappointed we're not talking about the War and Peace Revival.
Yeah.
But, yes, that sounds good.
We've also had a tweet from Lenley's. Morning, please tell your listener we've had a fab summer menu on in the Terrazzo restaurant, and that's Lenley's in Roper Road in Canterbury, and there's free parking and there's beds and blinds and floors.
Just getting it all in there.
I tell you what, they got all that into 140 characters,
didn't they?
Well done.
And Jules is cracking open a carver in our honour.
Yeah, well, that'll be her.
We don't want her phoning in. You've not got her phoning in, have you?
No, that'll be her third carver of the day, because she's been in touch twice already. Because I had to run her scoff and quaff show for her because she's on holiday.
Yeah.
And she texted me a complete list of instructions how to produce a radio show. Whilst quaffing carver, sat by the swimming pool and planning her paella for tonight.
Well, it just shows you can go on holiday now, then, Paul, as she obviously knows how to run your show as well. So.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I was looking at this tweet out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, oh, that's a juicy one. It's got it's kind of maligning Joe Dodds, but it wasn't. It was an apology.
Which one was that?
It's from James Gardner, who's from Component Force over in Medway, and he says, listening in to Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin, but he said, oh, sorry, Joe Dodds.
Well, I had spotted that earlier and thought, oh, well, I'm not here very often, so I'll let him off, but thank you. I do appreciate the extra mention. And we've got a new person, haven't we?
Yeah, go on. You can do that.
Sales help_VR. Oh, his name's John, apparently. So he says he's a first-time listener, and he's recently started his company, Vector Resources, to help businesses increase sales in, and then there's no...
He ran out of letters.
John, retweet the end of that sentence to help businesses increase sales in.
No, go on, John, go for it.
It's like a cliffhanger, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Dun, 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 dun.
Or anybody else, if you want to finish that sentence for him. In these terrible times, no, in this burgeoning economy, no, in this, what do you want to say, Paul?
Inflation riddled.
Yes.
Ridiculousness.
Yes.
Anyway, do you know, look, enough of our nonsense. Do you know what we're going to do now? I think it's time we introduce our first guest onto the radio show and brought some decorum and common sense to what's going on around here.
No pressure.
Absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker for the first time, Sharon Foster of the Crispy Duck Company.
Well, thank you very much, Paul and Joe. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank
it's lovely to see you.
Another very cool name, I have to say, the Crispy Duck Company.
Sharon?
I mean, come on. No, well, that's not bad either, but, you know, from a sort of evocative name type point of view, the Crispy Duck Company does...
It does do it, doesn't it? It says what it does on the tin,
it
literally.
Ah, oh, yes. I read about those tins when I looked on their website.
Yeah. So rather than Joe do it, I'll tell you what.
Because as you've heard, I don't get it right.
Why don't you tell us a bit about Sharon and then a bit about the Crispy Duck Company?
Well, I've been living in France for some years now, and in the southwest of France, where the people there really, really enjoy a fantastic quality of life, because it's all about the work-life balance. And having appreciated and lived amongst that, I kind of got a taste for, you know, taking the time out to do things and enjoy food and enjoy wine, as we all do. And every time I had friends and family who came across to see me, they used to comment on a particular dish that was really famous in that region called confit duck. Now, the French being the French, they don't like to give the government anything if they can possibly help it. Mm-hmm. So they're very much into self-sufficiency. Mm. So they preserve all their products, whether it's fresh produce from the garden or meat and things like this. And so this product, the duck confit, which effectively is slowly, slowly roasted duck until literally the meat falls off the bone.
She even describes it really well, doesn't she?
She's a little temptress, isn't she? Eh? Oh, you tart.
Just putting a few salivating teasers
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So so I just thought, as friends and families came out and tried it, they all used to say to me, this is so gorgeous, mm. Why can't we get it in the UK? Well, the thing is, you can get it in the UK at a few online stores, but it's really, really expensive. And I don't see why it should be, because it's a really healthy food. Mm. It's completely natural, and it should be eaten just as we eat fish and chips, really. Mm. It's like the kind of fast food.
Out of a cardboard box on the beach, you mean?
Well, this is out of a tin.
Yeah. Near enough.
Oh, you didn't mean it that sort of way, how you eat fish and chips. Okay.
So it's so easy. It's like a fast food, convenience food. Mm. And it's great, just roasted straight from the oven for a Sunday lunch. And then you've got all the duck fat as well for your roast potatoes. But on the barbecue, it is just a taste sensation. Mm. So I'm kind of, the Crispy Duck Company is kind of on a little mission to try and introduce and spread the Crispy Duck love across the UK for these fantastic products.
Sounds good to me.
Wow, and me. Just didn't bring any, though.
I've got some.
There's a surprise.
I think I might have some for you, Joe. Mm. I'm saving that as a little surprise.
Sorry, I have a bit of a sort of ongoing issue, don't I, around this food thing. Because the whole time I've been coming, nobody from food companies normally comes on the day I'm here. They always come when Jules is here. Yeah. And she's always like, you know, tasting things and, yeah, tasting things on the show and lots of stuff. And so I've had a bit of a chip on my shoulder about it, I have to say.
So today's your lucky day.
Absolutely.
So when I came back last year, I decided to build a website. And obviously, you know, Joe, more than anybody, it's pointless having a website if nobody knows you exist. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine who attends festivals said, well, come out with me and let's give some Crispy Duck wraps a little go. And it gives people the opportunity to try the product and see what they think. Well, they just literally flew out of the door.
So, or not, actually, because they've been cooked.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, wouldn't be quite so.
They're not wings, they're feet, yeah.
So because we did so well, we thought, well, this year we'll do the festival circuit properly and really try and spread the Crispy Duck love. So that's what we've been doing.
Okay, wow. So you've been going around festivals touting your Crispy Duck.
Touting our wares, yes.
And you were explaining to me that not only do you sell the duck there, but you also prepare it.
Yes, we do, because... The duck is marinated for up to 36 hours before it's slowly, slowly roasted, and then it's sealed in the tin with all this.
That sounds like Jules as well.
She loves it, doesn't she, Jules?
Yeah, she does.
One of her favourite foods.
I can't believe she's not here. I'm really impressed you've come on a day when Jules is
listening.
I did it deliberately, just to annoy her.
She's probably salivating because she does quite often listen when she's not here.
She is gently marinating in alcohol at the moment herself.
And roasting in that sun.
So it's really easy just to open the tin and make something really quickly with it. And because a lot of people don't know what confit is, or they don't understand what confit duck is, we thought, well, let's just kind of relate it to something that people do know something about, and that's crispy duck. And we all love crispy duck, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So at the festivals, we do crispy duck wraps. So it's a lovely warmed up tortilla stuffed with lovely crispy hot duck, all the trimmings, the spring onion, the cucumber, the hoisin sauce. Yeah, it's absolutely delicious, and it's a great way of, you know, getting people to try the product, and then we sell the tins at the festivals as well, and of course people can buy them online.
So how do you, where's the beginning of this process? Are you just buying it in from locally, or
yeah,
are you...
At the moment, because of economies of scale, and we're just a young business, it just wouldn't make sense for us to go direct to a farm and buy it. We just wouldn't get the pricing that we need. So we buy it through a very large wholesaler in France and bring it into the UK. But it's our hope that, you know, with time, as we grow the company and people start liking the product and get to know the product, that, you know, maybe one day we can perhaps even do it ourselves here in the UK.
I like the idea, as you say, of turning it into being named something that people get, because you say the French-sounding foods quite often put people off for sounding either strange or too complicated or not, you know, what people would think that they'd like. And as you say, in reality, we all like the crispy duck.
Yeah, so. Absolutely, and that's all it is. It's just it's duck in a tin.
Yes,
you know? So
it sounds great.
It's great, and it's so easy. And unlike the Peking duck, which again is delicious and it's one of my favourite foods, the confit duck, because of the way it's prepared and then cooked, and it is so meltingly tender, it's a lot
moister. Doing that again.
It's a lot moister than.
I was trying to ignore her.
Can you not smell it wafting?
I can, actually, yeah.
That's the trouble.
That's the problem.
It's a lot moister, and it's a lot more flavoursome. Because if you imagine, if you've cooked a curry at home or you know, chili con carne or something like that, and you leave it overnight, it gives a chance for the flavours to kind of steep into it, doesn't it? And gives it that extra flavour. So you get more flavour, I think, from this.
And as you say, in reality, crispy duck is actually very dry. So, you know, the idea of having a moist version of that, it does sound lovely.
Yeah,
so,
and then you get all the duck fat in the tins as well for your roast potatoes. So, it's, you know, you're getting a bonus, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As fantastic as it is to speak about the food itself, which is obviously brilliant and mouth-wateringly lovely, I'm interested in it from a business point of view as well.
Sure.
Because I think what you've done is really, really, really dead clever.
Oh, bless you.
And you've also kind of attacked two parts of the market, which are also self-reinforcing, which is this idea, you know, because you could just rock up at a farmer's market or a festival or somewhere with some tins of confit duck and go, this is crispy duck, and I'm sure some people would buy it. But what I like is you've done it, you've actually prepared it and served it to people, and I can see how they're going to go, I like that, 10 tins now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's really clever how you've done that. So kind of step us through what your business plans are for crispy, because you haven't been going very long, have you?
No, not at all. We really only started in earnest this year, just after Easter, so we're kind of just growing as a business now. The potential is endless, really. We'd like to potentially get it into some hot food outlets, UK kind of hot food sandwich wrap places, maybe. That will obviously help spread the message of the confit duck. We've got a fantastic plan for franchising the business. Having done the festivals and doing them this year, we can see that there's a real market for something unique, you know, rather than the bog standard kind of food that you see, the burgers and the hog roast and all the rest
of
it. So it's something different for people to get their teeth into, literally. So we're just working on the franchise plan at the moment, but if anybody's interested, just email us and we'll get in touch with you nearer the time and let you know as we progress how we're building it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So at the moment you're targeting festivals and such things.
Sure, yeah.
Are you looking to expand out of that into farmers markets and things like that? And what's the plan?
Yeah, I think any event that gives us some exposure and gives people the opportunity to try the duck is absolutely fantastic. So we're just in the process. It's a long process
of
actually compiling a big events list literally across the UK.
Right.
And there's the festival industry is huge. Mm. It's worth billions of pounds a year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So just compiling a list just for the Kent region, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. So so we're just slowly building that up, and as soon as we get the franchisees on board and we kind of license it for different counties, then hopefully that will be a more effective way of kind of getting the crispy duck out there.
Cool. So if anybody out there is interested in pursuing any of these ideas with Sharon, I'm sure she'd be pleased to hear from you. So give us a shout for your website, your Twitter handle and your email address so that we know how people can find you.
Oh, I should have written this down on a piece of paper, shouldn't I? So the website is www.crispyduckcompany.com. Mm-hmm. My Twitter handle is @crispyduckco. And the Facebook page is all the W's, facebook.com/crispyduckcompany.
Brilliant. All of those are on the Kent Business Radio website as well. So if you want to find a link to Sharon and the Crispy Duck Company, you can indeed. And you can follow up there. Yep.
We are doing a special offer, by the way.
They're doing a special offer, folks.
Result. We've already got people here wanting cans. We've got people saying their mouths watering. And John from SalesHelp_VR has come back with them. What a great day to be discussing comfit duck. You could imagine being in southwest France salivating. So I think people will be up for a special offer. So go for it. What
so
have you got?
The special offer, and it's literally just for Business Bunker people, is if anybody wants to buy two cans, we'll give them a third can for free. Each tin has a shelf life of up to 3 years, so it's fantastic also just to keep it in your cupboard as a staple in case guests arrive.
I think it's going to be perfect. Yeah, perfect for my caravan, isn't it? We've got barbecue and everything. Yeah, it'd be perfect.
The thing I liked about it when I got my can, the thing I really liked
off again now.
Sorry?
You're showing off again now. Yeah, carry on about your can.
What did you do with your tin of duck, Paul?
Sorry?
What did you do with your tin of duck?
It's still in the cupboard at the
moment. See, I'd have been a much better bet. I'd have eaten it by now.
Because I haven't got enough mates to share it with, and it's not worth opening on my own. So I'm waiting for the boys to come back.
Jill's eaten hers.
Sorry?
Yeah, well, she would. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she loved it.
The thing is, what I really liked about it is you can use it in so many different ways as well. Mm. It could be like a barbecue food or a snack food, or you can actually serve it as a formal dinner.
As a gourmet food, yeah.
Yeah, so having a can of it in a cupboard is actually a really, really brilliant idea because it's an all-purpose food, really.
Yeah. So is it edible straight out of the can because it's been cooked already?
Straight out of the can because it's been cooked already, yeah. So it's slow roasted for up to 14 hours, so it's absolutely well and truly prepared.
I know how it feels.
Perfect for my lunches. I'd have posh lunches.
But a fantastic recipe. Brilliant. If you want to just do, you know, like a lunchtime or an evening meal or something, is to do your roast lunch like you normally would do. So tray roast all your roast potatoes and chuck in some root vegetables in there, and then say 20 minutes just before the end, put all your duck on top and just wait until the skin crisps up about 15-20 minutes. Make a gravy like you'd normally make the gravy, and the cheating way, which I always think is the best way, just buy a little sachet of hoisin sauce and add that to your gravy, and then pour that over the lot. Honestly, it is seventh heaven.
She's torturing me, Jane. Stop her now. So there's a special offer. If you want to buy two cans, why would you want to buy South American birds? No, sorry, I see. If you want to buy two cans...
My joke was much better.
Yeah, true. You can get a third can free. Brilliant.
So how do you do that? How do you facilitate that offer?
It's just go on website and pay for two tins. And when you go to the checkout, just in the little notes section, just put Business Bunker.
Brilliant.
We'll know that it's you, and then we'll automatically send you out a third can for free.
Perfect.
I have to tell you, we've now lost all of our listeners who've all gone out for lunch.
Hopefully they've gone to the website to place an order.
No, everybody's going, I can't listen anymore, I'm going to lunch, I'm hungry.
But we did get some really fantastic emails from a couple of shows we did last year. Because it was in September, and I think we just had like maybe the tail end of an Indian summer, and people were just emailing, just saying we just tried it on the barbecue, and it was glorious. Mm. I mean, it's glorious out of the oven, but on the barbecue, it takes it to a whole new level.
Right, cool. We could talk about this all day.
Good.
For the moment, Sharon, of Crispy Duck Company. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's
Thanks
been an absolute pleasure to have you here. Do stay with us for the rest of the show and feel free to join in. But for the moment, Sharon Foster, Crispy Duck Company, we're all starving hungry.
Thank you.
Cool. We've had loads more tweets. John, our new listener earlier, did complete his tweet. Did you see that?
He did, yes.
Did you want to read it or shall I?
You can do it. Go on.
Well, originally John said, "Hi, Paul and Joe, first-time listener and recently started my own company, Vector Resources, to help businesses increase sales in..." And then that was it. But he's now said, "In Kent and beyond."
And beyond. Isn't that sounds a bit like Toy Story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To infinity and beyond.
And he says, "Lol, Twitter, you have to love it." So that's Vector Resources helping business increase sales in Kent and infinity beyond.
You just changed your strap line, John, sorry.
Yeah.
You got get involved in this show, you get involved
new,
in...
You've got a new marketing now, mate. I've got an email I want to read out here, because this is a mate of mine, and I'm really made up for him about this. And I've been spending a long time trying to get this guy to do a show on the radio with us. A top name camera manufacturer has snapped... Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, like that.
Has snapped
like that.
Up a leading Ashford photographer as one of its network of ambassadors. International camera giant Olympus has signed a deal with Doug Harmon that will see the Ashford expert running workshops and events to highlight the features of the company's range of high-end digital cameras. The news has provided another boost for the local photographic expert, who has already achieved worldwide fame as the author of the Digital Photography Handbook, now the best-selling work of its kind. As an established technical author and frequent contributor to photography magazines, Doug was an ideal choice when Olympus decided to add to its team of professional ambassadors. Doug, who specialises in wedding portrait and architectural photography, as well as writing for books and magazines, opened a new purpose-built studio at the end of 2012 to provide greater flexibility for his portrait work. He also specialises in providing social media portraits for business people who want to make the most of social media sites such as Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn by projecting a professional but approachable image.
I love that phrase, social media portraits. I've not heard that before.
Yeah, and that's good. I got around that. I just put a picture of me 20 years ago on.
Yes, as so many people do. And then you're very disappointed when you meet them in real life.
Yeah. Doug is equally well known for his high-end wedding photography and for the tutorials he runs for small groups, while his UK number one best-selling book, The Digital Photography Handbook, is now in its fourth reprint and has sold 450,000 copies in 19 languages.
Wow.
Way to go, Doug. Well done, mate. Doug, if you remember, was actually the chap that rang into the Business Bunker from Shanghai once.
That's very cool.
He was at a photography trade fair in Shanghai.
Yeah, I think that rings a bell.
Do you remember? And he rang in.
Yeah.
He rang in. Slightly marinated, shall we say.
Yes, that does ring a bell now.
Cool.
Excellent. That's good.
Good. Well, you can go with an email now,
okay, Jo. I've got one that sounds nice in this nice weather. Canterbury Cathedral Archives and Library Tour with Summer Afternoon Tea. You see, if you went round the cathedral now, it'd be nice and cool, wouldn't it? So join us for a full afternoon tea in the modern refectory restaurant that overlooks a beautiful courtyard garden. Afterwards, experience a fascinating behind-the-scenes tour of the cathedral archives and library. Explore a wealth of manuscripts, rare books, photographs, maps and other records dating back to the Norman Conquest. Choose from Friday the 2nd of August or Friday the 16th of August at 2:30. £19.95 per person. That sounds very interesting.
Very good.
Even thinking little Dodsy might be interested in that. She's a bit of a history buff at the moment, I have to say.
Cool. I've got an email here, says, "Good afternoon. Hope you're enjoying the sun." We are indeed. The Maidstone River Festival is going ahead, and it's the last weekend in July. We have some opportunities to put banners up along the bridges. These will go up on the Friday and be taken down on the Sunday. They must be 3 metres long by 1 metre and be provided by you. The cost for these banners is £200 for one banner or £350 for two banners. If you're interested, please let me know as soon as possible as the space is restricted. And that's from Lee Bennett of Marketing, Design and Print. And you can get hold of Lee on Maidstone, which is 01622 663588. If you'd like to look at the possibility of having a banner advert along the banks of the Medway for the Maidstone River Festival at the end of July, and you'd like to get hold of Lee, you can email me at bunker@kenbusinessradio.co.uk and I will pass your details on willingly and gladly.
I've got another one here, which is to remind you of events at the centre, it says.
The centre of what? The universe?
The Anne Robertson Centre, London Road, Canterbury.
Ah, right, that'll be it.
So it says we have a free business networking event this week, which is Wednesday the 17th, so that's tomorrow,
right,
isn't it?
Manana.
From 5 till 7 in the evening. No need to book, just pop along. So that's the Anne Robertson Centre in London Road, Canterbury. Bring plenty of business cards. There'll be tea, coffee and cake for a small donation to the hospice. And there's a first aid course on the 31st of July. First aid trained staff in the workplace are a legal requirement for all companies. Our new HSE-approved course will help you fulfil your legal obligations. The course will outline the responsibilities of the first aider, contents of a first aid kit, casualty assessment, management of casualties, resuscitation and wounds and bleeding. At the end of the course, delegates will receive a nationally recognised HSE certificate valid for 3 years. So if you want to find out more, then you can go to www.annrobertsoncentre.org, or you can follow them on Twitter, which is at ARCPilgrims. And you could phone Wendy Kelk on 01227 812 616, 01227 812 616.
Okay, I want to tell you about this now. It's a long way off, but I think it's worth starting to make people aware of it now, because it's an event that's happening in October, but I think it's going to be very well attended, so you might want to book your places while you can. It's a free seminar, and it's being provided by the FSE Group. And the seminar is Raising Business Angel Funding in 2014. And the seminar is going to take place at 4 p.m. on the 2nd of October at the Kent Science Park in Sittingbourne. And are you an entrepreneur or small business owner, manager looking to raise finance in 2014? If so, have you considered business angel funding? This is where high net worth individuals invest not only money, but also expertise in helping SMEs deliver their growth potential. Sums range between £50,000 and £500,000 and are offered in exchange for equity, which is a stake in the business. These people expect the money to be locked in for 5 to 6 years before an exit, typically based on a trade sale to a larger player. Dragon's Den it is not. This is not a TV show. This is a genuine asset class which, even in these difficult economic times, remains popular with investors because it can often deliver higher returns than more traditional investments. There's a full agenda available, which we will put on the Kent Business Radio website. I happen to know one of the speakers there, who's a great friend of mine, Louise Cox-Chester, and she has tremendous experience in this area. I would highly recommend, if you are looking to get angel investment, that you go along to the free seminar at the Kent Science Park, 4 p.m. 2nd of October, and you can book your event by going to the following website, angelfundingseminar.eventbrite.co.uk. That's angelfundingseminar.eventbrite.co.uk, and that link is on the Kent Business Radio website should you wish to follow it up.
Excellent. I've got another one about free entertainment for Hythe shoppers coming from the Channel Chamber. The Saturday shoppers in Hythe High Street in the next 2 months will be
That'll
treated
be you then, Joe.
To, well, not really hear much in the next 2 months, to be honest.
Are you not?
No.
Is that why they're doing it? They waiting for you to go on holiday?
Probably. But now I know about it, I will make an effort to try and be there on a Saturday sometime. They'll be treated to live entertainment and music in the town square from 11 till 3, organised by the Hythe Chamber of Commerce and Tourism. And the entertainment programme will also include competitions and workshops for children and Punch and Judy shows. And then I've also got Great Value Storage Space in Folkestone, up to 1,000 square foot available of storage space at an affordable cost that includes heating, lighting, loading and unloading. Minimum period is 1 month with 1 month's notice. And if you want further details and an appointment to visit the premises, then contact Tracy Reynolds at the Channel Chamber on 01303 270022, or email at tracy.reynolds@kentchannelchamber.co.uk.
Brilliant, good stuff. We've had tweets in from Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services, the pet taxi people, saying that they're listening in, and we've also had a tweet from Alex Waterton, and I've got a bit of detail to read out about that in a moment, so I'll read that out in a moment, Alex. Go with another email, and then let's find out what these other tweets are.
Okay, I can never remember how you pronounce this. Is it Eke Media?
Eke.
Eke Media welcome a new member of staff to their website design and development team. Award-winning web development agency Eke Media has grown bigger and better this month through the addition of newest team member Simon Keane. Si joins Eke Media from Maidstone-based G-Forces, where he's been senior designer for the past 4 years. And he says, I'm really pleased to be joining the Echo Media team. I look forward to working with the guys to further develop and enhance their already impressive range of e-commerce and web application products. And Brant McNaughton, Managing Director, says, we're really pleased to have Si join us. Our web-based solutions have to strike a careful balance between function and form, and we look forward to Si unleashing his creative talents to ensure everything looks as good as the technology behind the scenes. Si joins a Sevenoaks-based web development agency in its 14th year of business. The company, established in 1999, is run by Brant McNaughton, who's assembled a team of talented and committed professionals who specialise in web development, design, marketing and social media. For more information about Echo Media and its services, visit www.echomedia, which is E-C-C-E, echomedia.com, or call 01959 525 717, 01959 525 717.
Blimey, everybody's been distracted by duck.
I know.
Every tweet apart from one I've got on here is about duck or food or both, and I'm sure you may have read some of these already, Joe. Telcare has said their mouth is watering. Kent Discount Cards said, tuned in, love the food, can I have 10 cans? So you made a sale there.
So that would be 5 free then. Yeah. Get on and order them, go to the website.
Yeah. Adrian and Lisa have said, all this talk about duck is making me hungry. And Adrian said, yeah, very hungry. I think we got the idea, guys. She's terrible. She's dangerous. She ought to have a government health warning, Sharon, didn't she?
Well, it's a quacking good deal.
Oh, no. She's in the spirit of it now. We are in trouble. Atelcare says, the world's largest offshore wind farm was recently opened by David Cameron. The London Array has 175 turbines off the Kent coast.
Continued, that
and it
means.
It says continued, so let's see if we've got...
We have another one which says, huge impact on Kent. London Array are our customers. Read all about it on our blog, telcare.co.uk.
Brilliant. Okay, so have a read about that on the telcare.co.uk about the London Array and what's going on over there.
And don't miss out the AK Pet Services tweet about...
I was going to come to that.
Okay, sorry.
I was trying to leave a suitable gap between talking about slaughtering ducks and the PDSA, personally. I just thought, you know. I can see that now.
I just thought you'd missed
incongruous.
The rest.
but now you've mentioned it, we'll go for it. Come and see the PDSA Gillingham Hospital and staff on the 24th of July at 11:30 to 4:30. It's an open day. Please support the PDSA. That's the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals in Gillingham. Have an open day on the 24th of July, 11:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Do go along and visit them and say hi. I'm sure you'll enjoy the day. No ducks were harmed in the making of the PDSA. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to play some more tunage and get our next guest on the phone. What do you reckon?
Sounds like a good plan.
why your noises. You're banging on the bundles like a chimpanzee. Oh, that didn't work. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing. Get your chicks for free. We got to install microwave oven, custom kitchen delivery. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Listen here. Now, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
Welcome back. Bit of Dire Straits there, Money for Nothing. And it's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show our next guest, Mr. Neil Edwards of The Marketing Eye. Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon to you, Paul.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Like everybody else, baking in the heat.
I know, it's really warm, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Cool. So, I tell you what, why don't you tell us a little bit about The Marketing Eye, and then you can go on and tell us some more about the kind of things you've been doing with the local colleges and schools.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely delighted to do so. The Marketing Eye, we're an inbound marketing agency. We've been around for about 5 years now, building ourselves a nice reputation, principally across sort of Sussex and the South East. But they've recently opened an office in Cheltenham, so we're looking to expand and increase
our
footprint down into the southwest there and the West Midlands.
What made you choose that area? Anything in particular?
Well, it's a little bit of serendipity. I've been looking at sort of how we can expand the business effectively, and I sort of met the right person.
Right.
We had conversations about how we could do that, and. The southwest Cheltenham happened to be where she lived, so we sort of built the idea out from there. But certainly, if we can make this particular expansion work, then I'll be looking to repeat that model in other parts of the country.
Right. Okay. No, sounds like a really good idea. Cool. So you're looking at spreading out as well.
Totally. It's something I've always sort of had in my mind. Once we've got the sort of core business established here, that we need to think about where the growth comes from, and the logical thing to do is to replicate the model in other parts of the country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
that's the plan.
No, it sounds good. I give all power to you, and I hope you're very successful with that, and I'm sure you will be. I mean, I know The Marketing Eye have been very successful in East Sussex and West Kent for many years. So, all power to you. So let's talk a little bit about this other thing that you've been involved in. Is it the third year now, fourth year even?
Yeah, no, it's year three for Young Business Minds. It's something that we set up really because it just fits in with my overall sort of philosophy of wanting to create opportunity for young people. It's a competitive job market out there, as we all know, and certainly what we look for as an employer, and I know many of my sort of peers look for is commercial acumen in young people.
Absolutely.
Exams so important, qualifications so important, don't give up on those, but having some idea of how sort of business works is a real asset. So we've created the Young Business Minds competition with local colleges, work very closely with Uckfield Community College to devise the competition and then spread it out to six sort of local colleges to make a real competition out of it, and it's sort of going from strength to strength.
Absolutely. I mean, as each year goes past, you have more colleges participating, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And we want to continue to grow it. This year we actually kept the numbers the same as last year, because, it does actually absorb a reasonable amount of resource at this end to make it work effectively. And we have to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to it to make it work.
Mm.
But we're now actively thinking, now we've got a good footprint for it in East Sussex, can we get it into West Kent?
Yep.
And how would we go about doing that? So that's our thought process for next year.
Cool. So just step us through the process that the various colleges go through in order on this journey to hopefully win a prize.
Yeah. Well, what they have to do, we go into the colleges sort of June time, launch the competition and explain to them that they need to split themselves up into groups of about four.
Right.
That's proven to be about the optimal number. So this will be to the business studies and the economic students principally in year 12. But anybody else is welcome to get involved. But that's who it's targeted at. And we tell them that they need to come up with a business idea and then develop that through into a fully worked up business plan. And the key point here is, it's a business competition. It's not an ideas competition.
Right.
So, a business that comes up with, a retail idea, set up a shop in their local town, selling something, can have just as much chance as winning as a, really ambitious, idea to set up, the next global social network or
or
anything of that nature.
It's got to be a bona fide business with a business plan that has some common sense behind it, is what you're saying, really.
Exactly. We need them to put together, the marketing plan, the financial plan, think about the people plan, do some market research, prove to us that there is actually a market for the product or service that they're going to operate. Just as you would expect, a formal business proposal to come to you, we expect the students to do the same here. It's really intense. It's across a 2-week period, which it's what the schools and the colleges like. It fills that gap between the students finishing their AS exams and then sort of breaking off into the summer. So keeps everybody really focused, no chance to just sort of for it to lose impetus. And the journey that they make, Paul, across that 2 weeks is incredible. Certainly the ones who get through to the final stages.
Absolutely.
We've got accountants and lawyers on the judging panel, and they do say that the plans they see are more complete and more robust than some of the real business.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. it is fascinating. I'm involved in East Kent with Young Enterprise and things like that. And so I know exactly what you mean, and it is always very gratifying to see young people who really have some great ideas and some good business sense already. And it's really nice to see that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, phenomenally so. The students find it so rewarding as well. So, yes, it's great for us to see that there's real entrepreneurial ability in UK PLC, but I think what I enjoy the most out of it is just seeing the growth of the students from that, rather wide-eyed look at you when I go in, to launch the competition, through to them really believing in these plans, by the time they come to present them. And the whole idea is that it gives them real confidence as they go in to do their second year of business studies.
Oh, absolutely.
It gives them context.
Absolutely.
They've really thought about it in a real business situation.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It gives young people a sense of business, a sense of how to present themselves. It gives them something to focus on in the real world. I think what you're doing is absolutely brilliant. And I would love to see that expand some more, as I know you would. So tell us very briefly about this year's winners.
Yeah, well, this year's winners were Uckfield Community College. So they've been working, hard at this for 3 years to try and come out top. So, they absolutely cracked it this year. It was a team called Tavolo.
Right.
And they came up with a very innovative idea to create a desk specifically targeted at the design community or the architects community. And the innovation around this desk was it's sort of broadly circular in its design, so the worker could sit in the middle of it, and it had interchangeable elements within it according to what that user would need.
Okay, I see.
So,
yeah.
For example, it had a light box, a drawing area, a space for a computer, a sort of a cutting desk.
Oh wow!
And
okay.
The user would basically buy the the individual elements that he needed to truly customize the desk.
So it's a customizable, utilizable community creative workspace.
Yeah.
Brilliant. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, very, very, very clever. Well thought out, well sort of drawn up and demonstrated to us. But, the thing that was impressive here, goes back to what I was saying about it's a business competition, not an ideas competition. Yes, the idea was great and it, caught the judge's eye. But what really impressed us was the fact that they'd been out to the design community and they'd showed them this idea, and they'd had a number of pieces of feedback which enabled them to develop the idea further, lots of positive endorsements. So, they knew that they had a market for the desk.
Brilliant.
And the other thing that they were very confident about was pricing. A lot of the ideas that we get presented to us, the way that they're going to win their market share is we're going to be cheaper. We're going to undercut the competition.
Yeah.
But this was one of the first times that we'd seen a team come forward and say, we know this is a premium product, we know it's a really good idea, and we're going to charge a premium for it. So this desk wasn't cheap, but they knew that they could sell it at that price. And
That is awesome. That really is awesome. Had they actually done market research to look at the cost of things, I know there's nothing totally similar to it, but had they actually deliberately priced it like that?
Yeah, they'd been to a local sort of joiner in the area and taken in their drawings and got it all costed up, so they knew what their sort of cost of manufacture was going to be. They thought about how they were going to manage demand and almost make it do a bit of scarcity marketing, that you actually had to wait for your desk to be created, and that was all part of the buying experience.
I like it. Yeah.
To be put together. Yeah, it's really, really good stuff.
No, that sounds absolutely fascinating, Neil. It's really brilliant to hear about all of this. So, what are the plans for next year's event? How do you want to expand it? What can we do to help you expand it?
Right. Well, I'd certainly be, as I said earlier, I'd like to find more colleges to get involved. The way it's built up so far is because there's natural networking amongst the sort of business studies lecturers and tutors in East Kent. The word's gone round and they've supported each other and they want to compete against each other.
Right.
And I've somehow got to sort of jump into the next area with this and get another really enthusiastic sort of head of business studies in ideally West Kent College, so it's within reach of here, although I don't want to rule anything in or out at this point in time.
Right.
So that we can see how we could get a competition going, either separately in another region or how we could combine the two together. As that happens, I have to think about the resource implications as well for us here. Hearing from businesses that would like to get involved in the sort of the rollout and the mentoring process, the judging process, would be good and valuable. And indeed, we're going to reach a point where maybe we're going to need some sponsorship as well.
Cool.
To allow us to put the sort of full resources behind it that it deserves.
Brilliant.
That's all very much for the planning now.
Fantastic. Well, the Business Bunker Show and Channel Radio are fully behind what you're doing. If we can help in any way, we're more than happy to help. We can certainly put the word out to colleges in West Kent who want to potentially come involved. And more than that, we could probably help with you attracting sponsors and business mentors. So we're happy to do that. For a moment, Neil, if you could give us a shout for your website so that people can maybe find out more about the Marketing Eye and the kind of things that you do.
Absolutely, yes. It's www.themarketingeye.com.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
And if people just glance down to our sort of press area, they'll see all the press releases about Young Business Minds and can read for themselves the ideas and more about the competition itself.
Fantastic. We will put those links on our website so that people can follow up later if they wish and can find out more about both your organisation and Young Business Minds. And just to say a big thank you, because organisations like yours that support these things are enormous benefit to the business community, and all power to what you're doing, and we wish you continued and long success with that.
That's very kind of you. Very kind of you indeed.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker, Neil. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Cheers.
Okay. Thanks very much, Paul.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. That's Neil Edwards there of the Marketing Eye over in Uckfield, talking about the Young Minds business competition that they founded, support and organise. And fantastic it sounds too.
It does, doesn't it? As you say, it's amazing the stuff that people do. I went to the Young Enterprise Southeast Finals a few weeks ago, and I was just staggered by the sophistication of the businesses that they'd set up. I mean, you just think they're going to be like, you know, I mean, when we were at school, it was like sell cakes to your next door neighbour, isn't it?
Although, funnily enough, I've got a really interesting story about this, because it is weird. I was judging on one of the Young Enterprise regional finals.
Yeah.
And the way that the judging took place was each of the teams actually had a stall in which they you could walk around the stall and they kind of presented their business or told you what they were doing and stuff like that. And when we first arrived, there was a big gaggle of judges and all the rest of it, and we just read through the different profiles, and one of them was like a t-shirt stall, and we all went, oh god, a t-shirt stall, yeah, it's, wow, really?
Yeah.
However, we shouldn't have judged too quickly. The t-shirts were nothing special, nothing wrong with them, but they were nothing out of the ordinary. But when we got to the stand, they had some samples of their wares and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And some of the judges went, oh yeah, t-shirts, right, well, so what's your plan next? And they went, well, after the last 3 weeks, we've actually sold out. What? Yeah, they'd actually got market stalls in real markets and had gone and actually sold their products.
Yeah.
And they'd actually sold out. And we all went, whoops, you shouldn't have prejudged that.
No.
You know, because as Neil quite rightly said, it isn't just about having clever ideas. It's about doability.
Mm.
And quite often, an idea doesn't have to be different. You just have to stop talking about it and do it. And that makes a big difference.
Well, the winners of the Southeast Final, I've just looked them up because I thought the final must have happened by now. They came first for marketing nationally and they came third in the national finals, but they were first for the Southeast, were a company called Commando, and they sell beanies with their Commando logo on, and they'd managed to get David Beckham to wear one.
Really?
And I recognised that
picture. Snuck up behind him and shoot it over his head.
No, it was a massive thing, and they had Karen Brady tweeting how amazed she was with what they were doing on the day of the actual Southeast Final.
Oh,
and a couple of other things went on as well, and it was just their marketing and their social media, and I mean, on the day I was tweeting a lot of the people when I was there and saying great presentation, whatever, and I was looking all their profiles up, obviously, as a social media digital person, and some of them weren't really using their social media. Some of them said they were and they hardly were, you know, like they hadn't tweeted for 6 weeks and all this sort of thing. And this lot actually replied to me on the day, and I was having a conversation with one of the girls during the whole day, and, you know, wishing them luck and stuff, and it just showed you how they were really on, you know, on target with what they were doing.
Right.
And then there were other people there. They were selling, I think it was like creams and lip salves and things like that. They got manufacturers to make these things up, and they were actually selling these things. And they were talking to John Lewis and a few other really big companies about stocking them. And the people who won the stand, you said, you know, what's the stand going to look like? It was a Surrey-based company who created a recipe book created by the artisan sort of local suppliers, so a bit like with the Crispy Duck Company, that you'd produce your own recipe, promoting Surrey businesses. Mm. And their stand was just like going to, you know, the Good Food Show or something, a really professional business show. It wasn't, you know, you'd never have known that it was a bunch of school children sort of thing. I mean, I know they're older students, they wouldn't want to be called school children, but, you know, it just was like so professional.
Sure.
Really, really impressed.
I think it's an interesting point you made, Joe, about the social media stuff, because for younger kids today, or, you know, young adults, they're kind of grown up with the social media, so it's as natural to them as, you know, like taking a bath or, you know, walking outside. But for those of us who are maybe a little bit older and remember the days before social media, you really do have to get yourself into a pattern of using it constantly on a daily basis. And it's a fantastic tool, isn't it, when you do that?
But that is an interesting comment, and it is something that companies do, and some people sell themselves on this basis, that people assume because they've grown up, they're the digital natives, they're growing up with social media and they use it all the time, that they'd make a great social media manager for your company or whatever. And actually it's about understanding the business, going back to what you were saying and on the phone earlier, that you know, just having an idea or just having a business, if you don't actually understand how to promote it,
and
you know,
engage.
If you know how to use Facebook but you know, you don't actually know how to market a business, then it doesn't mean that you're going to use Facebook in the right way just because you know how to keep in touch with your friends, you know. And it's you know, there's lots of aspects to being you know, able to do this stuff in this social world, and it's not just about being able to use it, it's actually being able to understand why you should be using it and therefore how you should be using it and responding to things that change for your business and that sort of thing. But as you say, you know, great opportunity for people now to be sort of national, international as a result of you know, the power of social. But you know, it's not as simple as just getting on and using it, is it?
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think
one of the keys actually is to put yourself in the shoes of the customer, isn't it? You've got to put yourself in their frame of mind, and it should be all about what they want, and that's how you should promote yourselves, because at the end of the day, it's not about you. You know, there's loads of people doing this, that and the other. It's about catering to what the end user wants.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, you've cracked it with your explanation, your description of your product, because you're not saying to us, you know, it's a really convenient product, it's in a tin and you can just keep it in the cupboard. I mean, obviously you said all those things as well, but you're not saying, you know, and this is the price and it's very convenient and it's traditional, all those other things. You're absolutely describing to the point where all our mouths are watering, we've got to go and buy this stuff.
For sure.
Because those orders rolling.
Because exactly that you've pinpointed what, as you say, what your customer wants, your prospect wants, and you've adapted accordingly, and then you've used that to you know, determine how you then behave and how you speak and how you describe your business.
Yep. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with more. Read
how
an
did we
email.
Get talking about that?
No, yeah, read an email. Read an email.
God, I'm so bossy. Read an email. Right, okay, another nice sunny thing, which is a Kendon Victor Chamber summer barbecue. What better setting for a summer barbecue than the inspirational grounds of Canterbury Cathedral? So the Kenton Victor Chamber of Commerce have booked the Cathedral Lodge for a summer networking barbecue lunch on Thursday the 15th of August between 12 and 2. And this lunchtime event slots neatly into the business day and provides the ideal opportunity for you to meet fellow professionals, grow the profile of your brand and build new business relationships. So join the Chamber for a delicious two-course barbecue lunch. I think you need to talk to the Chamber about having some duck there,
Definitely. Personally.
And lots of networking. It's £20 plus VAT for members, £25 plus VAT for non-members. And to book a space, you can call Paul on 01233 503 838 or email events at kentonvictorchamber.co.uk.
Cool, thank you. Avanti Community Support Staff in Bexley assisted the Open University and Evans Wolfe to make a training video which will be shown to international students studying health and social care for the next 10 years. I don't think they're studying it for 10 years. I think the video is going to be in use for 10
years. That'd be a very detailed course, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. The university asked Avanti Community Support to assist them with providing a carer and a service user. We picked Anna Chyla, who is from Poland, and Mrs. Molly Davis. Anna has been providing support and assistance on a regular basis to Molly for over a year now, says Dawn Phipps, the Chief Care Supervisor. Mrs. Davis was asked about her life, where she was born, where she grew up, her first job, and how her life had changed since growing older. They also asked her what it was that she would like to do, but can no longer do for herself. Anna spoke about caring in England and any differences in care that she found between England and that of her home country, Poland. Mrs. Davis was asked, "What is your theory of life?" To which she replied, "Just get on with it." All right, I so like she that. Worked for Nike. Just do it. So well done to Avanti and Mrs. Davis for producing a training film that is going to be in use for the next few years for people training in care.
Great. Well, I've got something else from Avanti as well, and it's about long service being valued. The CEO of the Avanti Partnership, that's the parent company, Cedric Frederick, is often heard saying at staff presentations and on Twitter, and his Twitter ID is Avanti CEO. So Avanti is Avante CEO. We are our staff, and last week staff from the Avanti Community Support were recognised at a celebration event held at a local hotel. Throughout each year, individual members of staff reach a milestone or achieve success that's worthy of special recognition. Those staff members that had achieved long service or a work-related qualification came together to celebrate that success. Over 70 members of the Avante community support staff were invited to receive certificates of achievement from the trustee Brian Munday and Chief Executive Cedric Frederick, who opened the ceremony. And Cedric gave his personal thanks to the staff for their contribution. He said it's important to recognise our care staff for their efforts in ensuring we continually deliver a high standard of care and to show that we value their constant contribution to our customers' experience with Avante community support, often going that extra mile with their work. And I have to say, a good example of use of social media is Avante. I mean, I have to admit that I did do some training with them. But if you go on their Facebook page, there's some amazing pictures of all the activities that the elderly or what do we call them? Senior people?
The old guys.
I don't want to say old people. The things that they do in the centres that they run and the places they take them and the visits they have. And there's just amazing pictures. And it just makes me feel really... like happy for the fact that they're having a great experience when I see those pictures, and I just think that's a really good use of Facebook, using that sort of visual imagery to get across the sort of stuff that they're doing there.
Definitely. Cool. I want to tell you about an event mañana, tomorrow.
What is it? Oh, is this all for Jules' benefit, all this Spanish? Yeah, just checking.
Yeah. Wednesday the 17th of July at the Abbott Spartan Hotel in Canterbury at 7:15 in the evening, that's 19:15, until 9 o'clock to 2100. It's £7.50 for members and £15 for non-members of the Channel Chamber of Commerce. And Kent author Jane Ayres had her first short story published in a UK magazine at the age of 14. Since then, she's had more than 30 books for children and teenagers published, and her work has been translated into 7 different languages. Jane will talk about her writing journey from her teens through to working for a large publisher, Random House, as a bad secretary to finding an agent and getting her first book published. 30 years later, Jane has become what is termed a hybrid author, with work published both traditionally via an agent and publisher and independently, publishing her large backlist as ebooks for Kindle, which are available from Amazon. She believes that business such as strategic marketing, research, budgeting, targets and goal setting, and utilises her marketing experience over 25 years in educational marketing to promote her author brand through blogging, speaking and teaching. She says the publishing industry has undergone revolutionary changes since the 1980s, and Jane will explore how digital publishing has enabled a brand new breed of writer-entrepreneur to emerge, which will shape and change the future of route to publication forever. So if you'd like to hear more about that, go along to the Abbott Spartan Hotel tomorrow, 7:15. It will cost you £7.50 if you're a member of the Chamber, or £15 if you're not. And you can find out more by emailing Jane at jwallace at houseofcolour.co.uk and let her know if you're planning to attend. So do get along to that if you can.
That reminds me, can I just say Jill Tipping, who came on a while ago that had written a book?
Yep.
She's launched her second book, and it's brilliant. And I'm just trying to remember what it's called. It's something about Hayden Rails. Sorry?
Is that the naughty one?
No, the first one's the naughty one. The second one isn't naughty. And the third one she's just writing at the moment is a follow-up to the original naughty one. So hopefully it'll be a bit of naughtiness
too. So what's the non-naughty one about then?
It's just a beautiful story. It's about a family who moved to Cornwall and a girl who's just, I think she's just left university, and she meets sort of a bit of a down and out and befriends him. And there's a whole backstory to why he's a down and out, and then it all gets a bit sort of crime mystery type, and then it's just a lovely story at the end. So I don't think revealed anything, but it's just really lovely. So yeah. I would recommend it. It's Jill Tipping's the author.
And is it out yet?
Yeah, it was launched a few months ago, and it's something like The Something of Hayden Rails. Well, I can't remember the something bit, but anyway, look up Jill Tipping on Amazon. You can download it on Kindle.
That's Jill with a J, Jill Tipping, and whatever the title is that Joe can't remember.
I'm just so good at all this stuff, aren't I?
Right, listen, we got 2 minutes left before the end of the show, so if you've got anything short that needs reading out, I guess you can.
Well, let me do this one, yeah. There's Catering for Kent. They've got personalised embroidered kids' chef's hats and jackets. If you get a jacket, hat and or an apron, then you can get the child's name and surname embroidered for free. And they've got kids' cookery days on the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th of August, and also on the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd and 23rd. £37.50 per day. £10 discount for siblings and for subsequent days. Info at catering4kent, and that's with a number 4, to find out about it.
Fantastic. I've got a couple of really urgent tweets to read out. Adrian says, I just stopped at the sandwich shop, but I didn't have any duck, so I got a chicken sandwich.
Oh no, what a letdown.
I know.
How disappointing.
And Lisa Settle says, Young Enterprise is brilliant. Student ideas teach us so much, so I've just signed up as a business advisor for the next programme. So well done, Lisa. You're absolutely right. They're the next generation of business people, and we need to encourage them. And a new listener, Pulpito Tapas Bar. That's spelled P-U-L-P-I-T. Pulpito's Tapas Bar.
A place rather than a person, I'm presuming.
Sorry?
I said that's a place rather than a person.
I would guess so, unless his parents had a really weird sense of names. Yeah, Pulpito's Tapas Bar have live music on the 24th of July, 8 p.m. You can follow them on the Twitter at Pulpito Tapas, and that's spelt P-U-L-P-I-T-O-T-A-P-A-S. Pulpito's Tapas, all one word. Follow them on the Twitter, or you can ring them on 01892 525565, and they've got live music on the 24th of July, which is next Monday at 8 p.m. And that's about it for this week. It just leads me to say a massively, massively big thank you to Sharon Foster, who's going to say a quick word.
I just want to say thank you to everybody for supporting Crispy Duck Company. You've been fantastic. You turn out time after time to support us at the festivals. And a big shout out to Brogdale Farm at Faversham, who've been absolutely brilliant for us. So thank you, everybody.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for that. Thank you for being a guest on the Business Bunker Show. A big thank you to Neil Edwards of the Marketing Eye. A fantastically big thank you to Joe Dodds, the famous Joe Dodds, for joining us on the show.
Have a good summer.
Have a brilliant summer. Joe will be back soon. I'll be back next week. Enjoy the week. We will see you all next week.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on